Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the 2018 Healthcare Business Women's Association, or HBA as we call it, podcast series. My name is Julie Kelly and I'm an HBA volunteer leader and your host for our show today. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the HBA, HBA is a global nonprofit organization comprised of individuals and organizations from across the healthcare industry committed to achieving gender parity in leadership positions, facilitating career and business connections, and providing effective practices that enable organizations to realize the full potential of their female talent. Now, our program series for 2018 is titled A Mosaic of HBA Talent Advancing the Healthcare Industry. And we're going to be exploring some of the emerging job roles and trends that we're seeing in the workplace of this ever-changing industry. And through that, we're going to identify the skill sets and experience required to prepare you for these roles. Our title is Quality or Bust. And we're going to focus on the growth and evolution of quality roles in the healthcare industry. Now, I don't know about you, but I see more and more roles in quality listed on job postings inside and outside organizations. I have the pleasure of exploring this topic with Hope Mueller, who is a long-term HBI member and volunteer leader and the VP of Quality at Horizon Pharma. Now, a little bit about Hope. Hope is a results-driven leader with a dynamic career launching efficient systems and improving operational performance at all levels. Now, I note on Hope's CV, almost every single role she has the word quality in it. And if not in the title, then in the job description. Hope is an accomplished in terms of publications, authorships, and speaking engagements. She's very involved in a number of professional and board memberships, for example, the HBA. She's had volunteer leadership roles since 2014 and been a member since 2008. Hope has been a board member of Cures Within Reach. She does a lot of charity and volunteer work and is passionate about getting more women into STEM careers. So we'll learn a lot more about Hope as this program progresses, but welcome, Hope.
Thank you, Julie.
Now, Hope, you've had a career of quality and continuous improvement roles. Can you tell us how you got interested in this area?
That's an interesting question. I think a lot of times when you're finishing school, you just are looking for any job. I do know that even very young, there's probably two or three elements of just who I am that translate well to continuous improvement thinking. Even mm-hmm. as a kid, I love to measure everything. I want to quantify. I want to count how many things I have. So measuring is always something of that I've liked to do and enjoyed doing. And I loved problem solving, right? I wanted to do quizzes and mazes. I wanted to play 20 questions, any game that sort of intellectually challenged me. And then probably almost most importantly for continuous improvement, I was just open to any ideas. I don't naturally see a lot of barriers. I'll explore any option. I'll discuss anything. I was probably called inquisitive a lot, maybe precocious, probably mm-hmm. drove a lot of my teachers crazy. So even as a young child, those were my strengths that probably helped me look in, do some continuous improvement activities.
Oh, interesting. So this really started for you way back. Can you take us through your career?
Yeah. My first job out of college, I worked in quality control on the line in a medical device firm. And I made more money at Kentucky Fried Chicken when I was in high school than I did per hour after graduating college. So I had to keep a second job for a while. So I've made it into the microbiology lab in a pharmaceutical firm. And it was great because I had to do everything. It was a small firm, and you have to do everything from start to finish to support the product. So I learned a ton about the entire process. I made my way to Eli Lilly, which also gave me a whole set of great experiences, still in the microbiology space. But what I learned there was my true capacity for work, right? I'm going to start working 10, 11, 12-hour days, and I loved it. I also learned a really important lesson about how to manage up when you have too much on your plate and be willing to let some things go. So great boundaries to learn. I came back and I went to a Baxter facility and still in the microbiology space, but that's when I started doing leadership roles. So I was supervisor, then I was a manager of one lab and managed multiple labs. And we had done so much good work and continuous improvement work that my, you know, the director of the site moved me into a continuous improvement role for the site. And we did a lot of good work there, and they moved me to a divisional level role. After that, you know, I took on some director level roles in QA, and then moved into bigger titles, and the rest is history.
All right. So I hope it's safe to say that a lot of your QA roles were really in drug discovery in the laboratory.
Nope. These were all quality control. I wasn't in discovery at all. The R&D space is a lot more free thinking. The microbiology and the chemistry labs are a very common, growth ground for the pharmaceutical industry because it is very well-defined scope. It's great. You can measure a lot of things. How many tests am I testing? How many samples am I collecting? How much time does it take to do it? So it really allows you to make a lot of improvements because everything can be tracked.
Right. So you were in the lab, but really this started way back on the chicken line. You probably had some quality goals back on the chicken line, right?
Well, you definitely learn a lot, right? You learn a lot about first in and first out and how to prioritize activities and how to make sure your clients are happy or your customers are happy. There is a lot of quality control. You don't want to serve anything that's going to make someone sick, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know you're laughing, but we learn so much by those jobs. And look how you evolved from the chicken line, into a whole career and making sure things are completed with high quality. So you've done so many different things. How have your skill sets evolved during your career in quality, Hope?
Well, first and foremost, I think what's important, and I think it's important for everyone to hear and to know, you must deliver on your core work. You know, whatever your core assignments are, no matter what you're tasked with doing, you better do that, and you better do that well. You know, do your deliverables. So early in my career, quality was more seen as the police, sort of the stop sign, if you will, and we were, in the way of sales, if you will, or in the way of production.
Right, you're always in the way of sales. You and legal.
Yeah.
Legal and quality were all stopped, always stopping me from doing what I want. Continue.
That's true. Yes. No, it's fine. It's true. That's how I think it was, 20 years ago. I was definitely more seen that way. And I think over time, you definitely have to evolve. Quality by design is a key deliverable. You have to partner closely with your ops teams. And then you continue to evolve, and the industry has continued to evolve, and you really become a strategic business partner. You're not only working with your ops and your supply chain groups, but you're working with the commercial teams. You need to understand your entire business model. Where do you fit in? And how can you really support the entire business for success across the line, not just for your products, but for your patients and for, your entire firm.
Yeah, well said. So what started to be quality in the lab has now expanded to quality across all verticals within the company. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have touch points with, the corporate communications team. We work with the commercial team, the sales team, right? We work very closely with the GMs. Of course, a big percentage is still working with my ops partners and my supply chain partners, my trade partners, because we are responsible for getting it out the door, getting it into our patients' hands. But really, to do it well, you have to be strategically aligned with the entire business.
Gotcha. So it's more of a partnership versus the stop-and-go police mentality that I think we had a long time ago, is how can we work together to deliver the best possible outcome and being aligned on that.
And there is, I mean, there's a huge educational component to it as well, right? So you don't have to, you know, in order to be a partner, they have to understand what your needs are. You have to understand what their needs are, what, you know, what the regulatory boundaries are. So, you know, you spend a lot of time educating each other in order to be true partners instead of just a stop sign. Hey, you can't do this because of X, Y, Z. It's, hey, let me explain to you what I'm looking at, and you know, here's the pressures I'm looking at, so that we can work through them together.
Absolutely. So you mentioned something interesting, the whole issue around industry regulations, and we know that that's been a big, big, big nut to crack. How have industry regulations impacted quality?
the entire job is driven by industry regulations, right? So they continue to raise the bar. The FDA, the EU, all of the regulatory bodies around the world, more, you know, small countries are creating their own regulatory bodies, and they're always raising the bar, right? The increase expectations, they make all of the expectations are more rigorous than they used to be. And as technology advances, right, it allows you to measure everything, you know, more finitely, more precisely. So then you have closer results and tighter expectations that the FDA and all of the regulatory bodies know about. So it's a that is how it also dovetails beautifully with continuous improvement, right? Because every time you know a little more, then you say, all right, I have to fix that, and we got to get a little better here. And that's why quality and continuous improvement are, you know, synonymous.
Work hand in hand. And it's interesting that culture around technology, and it's really helped to propel our business forward, but you know, there's even quality around technology. You know, you have to QA test your technology. So there's everything is built into technology. It's a vicious circle.
It's a vicious circle. It really is. It really is. It's like the more you know, the more you know, and the more you're expected to do. So, no, it's true. I mean, if when you think about the technology, not just in every facet of the pharmaceutical industry has increased, right? So the analytical tools that we run in the labs are all light years improved of what they can do, you know, 20 years ago. In the manufacturing spaces, there's so much technology of what you can, you know, it's, again, what we were looking at 20 years ago just looks very different than what you might see in a really modern firm today. But even in the quality management systems, like you said, right, you know, in all of those fundamental pieces, so any software you put into place, anything that has data tracking, data reporting, all of that also has this whole underlying requirement of having to be validated to say that it'll actually do what it's supposed to do, right?
Exactly.
So you have to put a lot of material and testing together, even to test the technology to make sure it'll do what it says it's going to do.
To test the test. Now I know where there's so many quality people running around.
Got to quit saying that, because someone in my business is going to point that out. Why do we have too many quality people?
Well, we need them to test the tests of the tests. Like,
that's
even
right.
Think about technology in the, you know, the electronic medical records. We didn't have that years ago. So it's really come a long way. But with that, to ensure quality, we need people like a Hope to make sure that everything is working up to snuff and that we're continuing to measure and improve. So Hope, here's the million-dollar question. What's the most challenging about working in quality?
There's a couple of things that are pretty challenging. I would say one, the regulations are not always logical, right? They're not always scientific, but they are required. And so your partners are frequently looking at you saying, well, why do I have to do that? You know, I don't need to do this because of X, Y, Z. It doesn't make any sense. And you say, yeah, I see what you're saying, and logically and scientifically, maybe we have an alternate justification, which sometimes you can pull together and submit, but sometimes you just have to follow the rules. So it's a real challenge, and that's probably historically why folks saw us as the stop sign, right? Because there's a regulatory rule, and you got to follow the rule, and sometimes it doesn't always make sense for your product or your business or some of the challenges you might be facing. So that's a real, you know, that's a real true balance that you have to strike. And I would say, right, secondly, and we've said this, tossed this word around a lot today, but it's the partnership, right? So when you want to seek a true partnership with either your business partners or your operations partners or supply chain partners, that's, you know, that takes real work, and it takes a commitment not only from you as an individual, but as a leader and as your partners. Your partners have to be willing to do that with you. So, you know, that's a true, you know, difficulty. I'm sure that's actually true, though, for any organization or any title or any department. Mm-hmm. That's probably not just a quality-specific challenge.
No, I agree with you. But, again, it's agreeing on how we can accomplish this, meeting your needs and the quality needs. And I think that's
yep.
the conversation that you're trying to have. Help me help you. Help me help you, right?
It's true.
Yes.
I actually write that down a lot sometimes before I go into a meeting. It's a little mantra.
Speaking of health, the HVA helped you in your career.
So you had said 2008, but I would put it at, you know, 2002, 2004. I was in the Indianapolis chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot stress enough how much HBA has helped me grow. You know, and I was a longtime attendee. I didn't become a volunteer for many years, but I, you know, as an attendee and a member, I learned, you know, how to do an elevator speech, how to, you know, do meet and greets, how to, you know, work-life balance activities, just the list goes on, be comfortable networking, you know, how to approach difficult conversations or how to approach your, you know, negotiation opportunities. So those are things I learned from HBA that, it would have been hard for any firm to give me all of that training. So it was critical for my growth and success. And certainly as I've become a volunteer in the last several years, that has just blossomed into something much bigger. Not only, it also gives me an opportunity to give back. It's elements that I'm extremely passionate about, you know, both in the healthcare space, but the networks and the relationships that you build with your fellow volunteers is something that I'll carry forth with me for the rest of my life. And, you know, if I ever have an opportunity, and here it is to thank HBA as an organization, you know, thank you, because I certainly couldn't have done any of this without you.
Wow. Amen, sister. So it looks like we're almost out of time here. So I want to thank Hope for being our first tile in our mosaic of HBA talent advanced in the healthcare industry in our series in 2018. And Hope, thank you for sharing your quality insights on quality. Can I say that? I've been dying to say that.
Quality insights on quality.
And for your leadership with the HBA and helping propel young people into STEM fields, all your volunteer work. And we look forward to our next podcast when we're going to explore the emerging roles and needs of the rare disease marketplace. So thank you, Hope, and thank you, listeners.
All right. Thank you, Julie.
You're welcome. This is Julie Kelly signing off for the HBA.